Well, let me just say that my own concept of this time and this whatever I'm bringing to it has changed and grown tremendously, especially in the last few weeks. When I prayed about it and began to hear some things, and we ended up with the topic putting on the heart of Jesus, I was thinking of it in terms of women are very much in the middle of everything, and under a lot of pressure in that regard, and answering in a number of directions and in a lot of roles, and need very much to draw on the Lord, need that power of His word and presence and encouragement to bring into the situation. So that's what I had in mind to talk about. And we are going to talk about that. But it's grown since then to add some things that the Lord is doing in our midst as a body of believers. So I want to try to describe that tonight. And in the last, couple of weeks, I think, but this last week especially, there's been a word from the Lord, I think, that has been stirring around and formulating. And I thought, well, if it gets clear, then I'll bring it. If it doesn't, I'll wait until it does, you know. But this morning, it did get very clear. And I wrote it down and brought a copy of it. I'll share it with you in a little while. But first, let me just say some things about the huge power and influence that the whole concept of putting on the Lord's heart. I don't mean as a concept. I mean as interacting with Him and sharing His perspective and getting a hold of Him and feeling like we are very with Him in the midst of things. There's the difference between being with someone and on your own, just in terms of security and peace, and all, you know, it's pretty sizable, isn't it? So we're talking about something that has a tremendous influence and potential power all throughout our life. And I think that's what the Lord really wants us to hear and move into with Him. Tomorrow, first of all, let me just say that the practical challenges of that are actually formidable. Time, focus, concentration, attention. You know, how many of you get interrupted the moment you sit down to be quiet? See, and the people who interrupt you and the children who interrupt you are not really saying, I'm sorry, you're listening to God. Let me just let you be. Does that happen much? Okay, so even getting to the place where we can get a hold of the heart of God, where we can hear it, where we can take it in, receive it, and start to share it, and find out what we would do with it. See, there are some obstacles to that, right? So we want to the practical challenges I want to talk about tomorrow night, and I actually have a handout though, and maybe I'll just let you since I'm talking about it now, maybe I'll just send this around. I would like to know if you want to tell me, I'd like you to think about just writing down what are some of the really difficult situations that you are in terms of listening to the Lord, in terms of having time with Him. What types of challenges happen that are especially the most difficult ones for you to feel like you can get a hold of the heart of God and be able to bring that? Okay, you know what I mean? So, if you want to do that, give it to me tonight so I can kind of, I'd like to talk about the real things we're wrestling with, So, it's optional. You don't have to put your name on it or anything, and even if you did, I wouldn't mention it. So you're not going to be exposed in anything. But there are several levels that this whole thing of putting on the Lord's heart have to do with. First, I think it is critical to our own personal healing and equipping. You know, there's a way in which healing and uniting with and agreeing with the Lord are one and the same. I mean, you know, if our whole heart and life was united with Him, would we be whole and healed? I mean, see, they're right next to each other. So the process of moving into that is getting a hold of Him and sharing His heart. Ministry to others has everything to do with getting a hold of the heart of the Lord, because that's what we want to bring. That's what we want to introduce them to. That's what we want them to experience, right? We want them to move into God and be empowered and freed in that. And carrying out our roles in life with the provision of Jesus in every aspect of it. Those things turn from ho-hum to amazing sometimes when we take the time to get a hold of the Lord and bring what He gives us into that situation instead of wrestling with it or reacting to it or being so irritated, you know, that... I may tell you the details of this, but on this week, it cracks me up sometimes, you know, whatever I am talking on or teaching about, I am going to have, you know, probably the more pronounced challenge of it surrounding that time that anybody will have that I'm talking to, you know. And Wednesday this week was a day like that for me. You know, I didn't get it either until the end of the day and really the next morning. But it was just one thing after another that was exactly the opposite of what I had intended. For one thing, I had set aside the morning to spend time, to be quiet, do exactly what I'm talking about here with the Lord about this time. That didn't happen. The rest of the day it didn't happen. That night it didn't happen. You know, I finally at 9 o'clock at night I said, Lord, you know, I'm going to bed. I'm worn out. I've been up since 4. This is just, it's over. You know, I don't know what's going to happen, but it isn't going to happen tonight. And in the course of the day, with all the frustrations and everything, I got so irritated, you know, because something that can get to me at times when I am very keen on something and I want to pursue it, and I set aside the time, and I make every, you know, plan, and it's blown out of the water. I feel like the enemy's winning, I'm losing, I can't, you know, I can't get a hold of it. You know that feeling? So Thursday morning, it's getting full late, you know, and I'm all day in Orange County on Thursday. There isn't going to be any time except the early morning to do anything. And Friday, I come here. But Thursday morning, I began to talk to the Lord about it, and he reminded me about the topic here, putting on the heart of Jesus. And I reflected on the day before. You know, well, I didn't do that, Lord. I was all full of frustration and irritation, and honestly, in the midst of all of that, I'm not even sure it occurred to me. You know. It looks like that sometimes, see. I mean, that's the reality. That's the reality. But comes Thursday morning, see, Wednesday is what it is, and we might not be able to just do anything but barely get through it. But comes Thursday morning, and things are quiet for a while. It actually kind of cracked me up, you know, that it's like, okay, here's a major challenge of the very thing you're teaching on. I said, ooh, okay. But you know, that's okay with the Lord. I could have disqualified myself, called up and said, well, you know, I can't come because I've already failed the test. Actually, I would say probably failed about 10 tests in a row that day. So I have nothing to say. Well, but you know what? Regrouping is a victory. It is a major victory. Not getting discouraged, not getting disqualified, not getting talked out of your life in God. You regroup, whatever it takes, you know. So there's this whole thing of of the Lord equipping us and strengthening us and moving us along. And there is a level that I was not particularly thinking about, but the Lord has brought it to mind, in which sharing the heart of Jesus has everything to do with bringing the kingdom. See, think about it. The more we share his heart, the more kingdom, the more the kingdom comes. Right? We have a pastor who preaches on the kingdom a lot. And I think you can hear that he wants it to come. Yeah? It's going to involve every one of us, isn't it? Every single one of us. That's the level that that I began hearing some things on this week. But let me share quickly three scriptures with you that focus this for us a little bit in three areas. The first one is in John 7. And verse 38. Jesus says to them, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Verse 39 says, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Believing in him produces an outcome of living waters. Out of our heart flow living waters. Now that's a very active and dynamic thing, I think. He's not talking about accepting Jesus as for who he is. He's talking about believing him over and over and over again, I think. And the pouring out of God into our hearts, and it producing a river of living water. I think of this, and I believe our growth in the Lord is like this. Incident by incident, we are challenged and need to grow in the Lord. Incident by incident that life presents us, you know. It says the fire of the day will test whatever you're doing, you know. So out of this sharing of his heart, there is going to be a producing of living water, a filling of our heart. It's like we have a whole well to pour out from. I want you to think of the difference between that and trying to do all the things you need to do, feeling like you're running on empty. I know you guys know what that's like. It probably happens at least weekly, you know, just kind of drained and worn out and have poured out. And, you know, we're talking about a full well that we pour out from. That's the promise, that out of that drawing on God, there will be that river of life that pours through us. That's the promise. The means that he talks about is described over in John 15. There are a couple of I'll read verses 15 and 16. "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you." This is him sharing his heart, right? He wants to share his heart with us. The things that he's received, he wants to share with us. And calls us friends in that. You know, he's making us part of the project, making us part of the work of God in that. It's pretty awesome. And it says in 16, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. It's a partnership being described, isn't it? There's the first part of sharing hearts, and the second part of the power of using that partnership and the fruit that it produces. And the third scripture I want to share with you is in Hebrews 4. And it is part of the provision that the Lord makes for us. Him pouring out his heart to us and sharing with us and calling us into a friendly partnership with him. In Hebrews 4:16 it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I think there's probably a lot of need in this room. Just in terms of things going on and difficulties involved in them and challenges and relational things. I mean, you know, there's a lot of need represented in this room. He says, come boldly to the throne. You will find mercy and help. Now, we can come if we're sure that's what we're going to find. You know, so this is a provision for us. See, he's pouring out his heart to us. We get to pour out ours to him, too, and find mercy and help in that. A lot of faces of this in Scripture. It's the place that the Lord wants to bring us. You know, most of the prayer of Jesus in John 17 is about the oneness that he wants to bring us into with him and being with him. It's everywhere. Now I want to share a little bit with you what's been stirring around for me at a different level that I didn't think about at all when we first started talking about this. You know, in the last few months at church, it was very evident a couple of months ago that every Sunday it seemed like the presence of the Lord was growing, you know, during the worship time stuff. You with me? Just lately, there's been actually, it seems like there's a lot of opposition, and that's warred with a little more, you know. It's still happening, but people are a little more under it, you know. But I had a sense when all of that was going on that there was a move of God happening among us. Did some of you sense that? You know, that there's, God was working and doing some things and knitting things together, and there, you know, there's a move of God going on. It's an interesting thing because you see bits and pieces of it, and it feels like it's happening, but you don't really understand, and it's got to grow. The word that I want to share with you has to do with that level. It has to do with a move of God in our midst, and most likely in our valley, because he doesn't, you know, just pick a little spot. There's purpose in that, and I don't know that we necessarily think in those terms. Those scriptures kind of full of it, huh? And you know, we don't tend to think in those terms, and we especially may not think that it's going to happen to me, or that I'm going to be involved in that. But I suspect that almost everyone who has been involved in it has felt that way. So this word is about the role of women in that reviving work of God in the church. And my sense is that God is very serious about doing that in our midst. You know, he intends to really increase that work and touch us all more and more. And that's what I hear in this word that I'm going to share with you. The place of women in the reviving work of God. You know, I was going along last week. Just we can go to a retreat. Say it's cool and it's nice to get away and you get encouraged and everything. But there's a different level, I think, that the Lord is talking about here. He actually intends to shake us up a bit, I think. I just warn you. This says, stand in the gap, daughters. Believe me. Pray every member of your family, everyone you influence, into the place I have for them. Aware of my presence, touched mightily by me, that they take up their calling, know the gifts I have given them, and allow the fruit of my spirit to be formed in them, that they may know the joy of my kingdom. You are glue in the midst of the activity of God, partners in prayer, those who oversee the hearts of your family, whose alarm over what you see leads you to my throne in prayer. You are those who want the light of the Lord shining in hearts around you, and who see your own need for my river of living water. Your primary task is to be a manifestation of my living water. Do not be diverted by the flurries that surround my work. You've seen any flurries lately? In your life and in the days? Do not be diverted by the flurries that surround my work, that seek to interrupt or derail it. You are my dear daughters. I call you to my side, and we have a great work to do together. Come often. Make way for your time with me. Draw freely on my grace for your personal challenges and for everything you need to pour out to your family and friends. That is how reviving proceeds. I touch your heart, and my presence with you draws those around you. Know who you are in me. Push through the obstacles until the river flows freely and continuously through you. It is your chief testimony to the presence and grace of God. Lay aside all lecturing and efforts of the flesh. Only let your relationship with me be growing daily and visible to those you bless and nurture and raise up. Put on my heart for the living water you need. Put on my heart for every challenge, over every point of confusion. Make sharing my heart the quality of the influence you exercise and the power you exert. Amen. When I was, I made some copies of this word, and I'll just, you know, I'll put them up here. You can pick them up, or yeah, you can pass them out, Katie, if you want to, because I think we need to let the Lord speak with us about it. Let me share with you a scripture that came to mind when I was hearing through it and writing it down. This is from Song of Solomon. I'll read several verses from chapter 4. And actually, the reason I'll tell you the reason that I looked up these scriptures and they came to mind is because one of the things the Lord said that he was going to do this weekend is blow on his garden. That would be us. I don't know what that will look like, but I know he said that he is going to blow on his garden. Well, here's what this says. Verse 12 says, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. It means locked or barred. It's Song of Solomon 4, verse 12. And that is our condition sometimes. We're kind of closed in. We're not, you know, maybe free to respond to things. The Lord surprises us and it seems too big, not for us. Don't That can't be me. Even Moses said that. You know. So, you know, we're in a condition that he's got to get us out of. Verse 16 says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out." That's a transformation, isn't it, from locked and barred. And there's a place in the next verse, first part of the next verse, where he is saying to his friends, "Eat, O friends, drink, yes, drink deeply, O beloved ones." So he's going to bring his friends into the garden as well. To partake of all the fruit and the good things that he has produced in the garden. That has everything to do with the kingdom too, doesn't it? So I don't know, but expect to be blown on. Expect the Lord to blow on us this weekend. Now I want to say something that just occurred to me just before I walked over here about this word. I heard a speaker say one time, in a message about the Lord touching churches and groups and making them forerunners of the things that He intends to do. You know, which that's what a move of God does, huh? It raises up some group of folks and gets them united and God flows through them powerfully. Well, she said, everything depends on what we do with what God says. Is that a fair statement? Because if we hear it and say, "Man, that is interesting, Lord," but we don't take it up. See, the fulfillment of it, the outcome of it, depends on what we do with it. So I'd like us to take a little time with this word. See, I believe that there are kernels or threads in it that relate to things that God has already said to some of you. I believe that He has touched or nudged or put some things on your heart, and you're actually wrestling around with them, or I don't know, whatever you're doing with them. But they are all, see, that happens with a lot of us, they are all about this whole work of God happening, huh? Because He needs to bring all of those and put them together so that the whole body flows in Him. And I think He's speaking into that tonight. You either know what those are, or we'll give the Lord a chance to remind you. But when we were worshiping and we were singing that song, "Search My Heart," I thought maybe that'd be a good one to end with. You know, after that we just give Him a chance to do that in relationship to what He's saying to you in this word. How does this speak to me? What are you saying to me, Lord? How does this apply? However you want to ask it. But could we just sing that song again? And if you know some things, if you realize that you are wrestling with some things and God is reminding and drawing you and wanting you to step into those, and you want prayer or encouragement or whatever, we'll be here to pray for you. All right.